السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة، إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وحسن أولئك رفيقا. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to this advanced learning seminar on Dawah, the principles of Dawah, which we have titled Inviting to the Inhabited House. Inshallah, I'm going to deal with this . Let me share the screen with you under the following titles. So we are going to start with an introduction and definition of Dawah, the virtues of Dawah, the fiqhi status of Dawah, and then the three key elements of the Dawah: the call, what we are calling to, the objective of the Dawah, which is Tawheed and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we'll talk about the essential qualities of the da'i, the caller, his characteristics, her characteristics, conditions and requirements. And then the subject of the Dawah, the mad'u, the person that is being called to. And then we'll go into modes of Dawah, the method of delivery. And we'll look at some examples, some prophetic examples of Dawah with Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we will talk briefly about some misconceptions that people have about Islam and the frequently asked questions about Islam, which we need to know about, because we frequently encounter this in the process of giving Dawah. And we'll talk about the expected results and where the results come as a result of the Dawah. And then if time permits, inshallah, we'll share some personal stories of Dawah and the lessons derived from those stories. And then we will conclude, and then we will, inshallah, open it up for questions and answers. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us barakah in our time, inshallah, we hope to finish by 1 o'clock, which is in 3 hours' time frame. And we will, inshallah, allow for 2 breaks in between. So let us get started with the introduction and definition of Dawah. The Arabic term Dawah is derived from the verb da, ayn and alif, which means da, to invite, to call people, to supplicate, the same root as da'a. So calling, inviting people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ad-da'wah ila Allah is essentially calling to Allah. It is an act of conveying the essential message of Islam. Calling, inviting people to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Sirat al-Mustaqim, to the straight path, to Islam, loving, willful surrender and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through that, to freedom and sa'ada, happiness in the dunya and in the akhirah. Of note, Allah is the first one who invited His ibad to Darus Salam, the abode of eternal peace, paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah invites all to the home of peace, Darus Salam, and guides whoever He wills to a straight path. Da'wah was the basic mission of all the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who called people to Tawheed, to Ubudiyah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without any partners. For example, in Surah Shu'ara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the Anbiya, some of them, as saying, Inni lakum rasulun amin, fattaqullaha wa ati'un. Indeed, I am truly a trustworthy messenger to you. First establishing their credentials and then saying, fattaqullaha, fear Allah. To have the taqwa of Allah, you must first believe in Him and know Him. Wa ati'un, and obey me, because I will take you to that right path. As we know, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a purpose on this earth. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He created us specifically for His worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant from us. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَا شَهِدْنَا. This happened in the realms of the souls, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracted all the souls of every human being to come and inhabit this earth from Adam alayhi salam. He took this covenant from us, and we swore allegiance and recognition and bore witness that Allah is our Lord. In other words, we would have to manifest that covenant by our actions, by submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when and where He puts us on this earth. And if you will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala programmed this in the spiritual genome that each one of us possess, which is called the fitrah, the natural state in which we are born. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His divine mercy, made provisions for the spiritual needs of His creation by revealing and sending divine messages, and by choosing and sending messengers to every nation to call them to the worship of Allah alone and to abandon the worship of various false gods that they had invented. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran when He says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ أَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ أَعْقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Which means, and indeed, we have sent among every ummah, among every nation, a messenger proclaiming, worship Allah alone and avoid and keep away from taghut, which is all false forms of worship, all made-up deities. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then of them were some whom Allah guided, and of them were some upon whom going astray was justified. Then Allah says, "Fasiru fil ard," and travel through the earth and see what was the end of those who denied the truth, the mukaththibin. There are numerous verses in the Quran which describe how the former prophets invited their people to Allah, and that was their primary mission. And finally, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent to all of mankind, not to a tribe, not to a city, but to all of mankind. And he was given the task of reciting watlu alayhim ayatihi, reciting the verses of Allah to people. Wa yuzakkihim tazkiyah, of the nafs. That's what we start our program, our year with. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, as a mu'allim, as a teacher. And he was sent as a da'i ila Allah, as an inviter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So da'wah was an essential part of the mission of all messengers, particularly the best of humanity, the seal of prophets, the leader of all the anbiya, because he is the one for all of mankind till the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that honorific, intimate way that Allah addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not by his name, but by saying, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi idnihi wa sirajan munira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily we have sent you as a witness, as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner, and one who invites to Allah by his leave, and a lamp spreading, siraj, spreading light. Surah Ahzab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically exhorts the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey the message of Islam to people, when he says, وَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أُنزِلَتْ إِلَيْكَ وَادْعُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not let them turn you away from the revelations of Allah after they have been sent down to you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, invite all to the way, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ, to the way of your Lord, to your Lord, and never be from among the polytheists. Surah Qasas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbika, wa in lam taf'al fama ballagta risalata, wallahu ya'simuka minan nas, inna allaha la yahdi alqawm alkafirin. O messenger, convey everything of the message that has been revealed to you from your Lord. If you do not do that, then you have not delivered the message, and Allah will certainly protect you from people. Indeed, Allah does not guide the people who disbelieve, in Surah Maidah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded to declare his mission, his vision, his path, and the path of all those who follow him in the ayah in Surah Yusuf. The ayah, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. قُلْ, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي, this is my way. What is my way? أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ, I invite to Allah with certain knowledge, with basira, with insight. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَانِي, I, it's my duty and the duty of all those who follow me. They must also invite others to Allah's tawheed with insight, with sure knowledge. And glorified and exalted is Allah above all that they associate as partners with him. And I am not of the mushrikeen who worship along with Allah. So my dear brothers and sisters, in our lives, we are constantly being invited to something or the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a test, has made things in the dunya beautiful. So we are being attracted by the beautification of the dunya. And that attraction is an invitation that invites us away from the akhirah. And we have the advertising industry, Madison Avenue, we call it here, a multi-billion dollar industry that is all about constantly inviting people to the dunya, about things of the dunya, to a certain living standards, to certain looks, appearance, exterior, to a certain way of life. Constant invitation. So we have the choice of being invitees to the dunya and indulging in it, or we have the choice to seize the narrative ourselves and become inviters instead of invitees. Inviters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to higher aspirations than the dunya. Inviters to the akhirah. Inviters to the beauty of Islam, to submission, to freedom, to happiness. So with that introduction on da'wah, let us go to the second point we want to talk about, which is the virtues, the fadail of da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those who engage in this noble endeavor, and He says those who call to Allah, that is the best of speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ayah that all of you know from Surah Fussilat, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a rhetorical question. And whose words are better than someone who calls others to Allah? Whose words are better? The answer, obviously, to this question is, no words, no one's words are better than that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qualifies further, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, these are important, and does righteous deeds, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he says, indeed, I am of those who submit as Muslims. And we will come back to this ayah and its significance later on in our seminar. So the best words that any human being can speak are words of guidance, inviting people to the purpose of their creation, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the great rewards for this righteous pursuit when he said, the meaning of which is, whoever calls to guidance will receive the same reward as the one who follows him without any decrease in the reward of the person doing the deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His divine grace, rewards us and promises us at least a tenfold reward for every good deed, for every hasana. Allah increases it tenfold, sometimes 700-fold, and sometimes without accounting. So imagine people guided to righteousness, and everything that they earn of good deeds throughout their lives, and multiply that with Allah's benevolence. All of that is also written in the accounts of the one who guided. Just imagine the immeasurable reward specifically granted to those involved in that prophetic mission of da'wah. Because we can only do so much good. But when you have multipliers on the side simultaneously doing that, you can only perform so many hajj in your life. Now imagine five people were given guidance through you. Then all the hajj that they did, and all the hajj that their children were taught by them to do. All of that is written in your account. Their salah, you can only do so much salah. Their dhikr, all of their good deeds with the multipliers written in your account. So this is, you know, a huge, huge reward. In a narration about the siege of Khaybar in the Madani period, as you know, after the Battle of Khandaq, some of the Jewish tribes around Medina had betrayed their agreement and their covenant with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of mutual defense, and had actually invited the Ahzab, the Confederates, and given them information. And so they were expelled, and they holed up north of Medina. It's about 180 kilometers north of Medina, in this place called Khaybar, which had multiple fortresses. And there was this one big fortress which they sought protection in. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to bring this treason to an end. And he went there and laid siege to Khaybar. And trying to break through this massive fortress, the flag of the leaders, Muslims, was given to Sayyidina Mawlana Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he tried for 2 days and he could not break through that fortress. And then in some narrations it said that the raya, the flag, the banner, was given to Sayyidina Umar also, and he could not break through. So the siege is going on and they are not able to penetrate this fort. So one night Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will give the banner of Islam, the flag, the raya, to a person tomorrow at whose hands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us victory. Now imagine, with that declaration, all the companions radiallahu anhu are hoping that it's going to be them, and wondering who it's going to be given to. And next morning, just imagine all of them being assembled there, and everyone trying to look taller than the other, that perhaps I would be chosen for this task. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks around and he says, Aina Ali? Where is Ali? And then someone informed him that he was not there because he was suffering from an ailment of the eye where he could barely open his eyes and see. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends for him, bring him here. And then with his noble hands, he uses his blessed saliva and anoints the eyes of Sayyidina Ali. He puts it on his eyes, and as a miracle, the eyes return to normal as if nothing had ever happened. Then he says, then he hands him the banner, the raya, to go for the conquest of the opening of Khaybar. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, karamallahu wajhu, said, Ya Rasulullah, we will fight with them till they become like us. In other words, till they submit to Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, proceed and don't be in a hurry. Be patient. Then he said, when you face them, ud'uhum ila al-Islam, invite them to Islam. وَأَخْبِرْهُمْ بِمَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمْ, and then inform them of what they have has been made obligatory on them. And then comes the part that I want to stress. And he says, فَوَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ يُهْدَى بِكَ رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعْمِ. He said, by Allah, if one person, a single person, is guided to Islam at your hands, through you, it is better for you than the red camels. So here the Prophet ﷺ is indicating the fadila of inviting people. And if somebody, Allah chooses to guide through you, he says, that guiding others to the truth of Islam is more valuable, a single person, than the most prized possessions of this world, which in those days in ancient Arabia were the red camels. So this is an incentive, and it's a fadail of how important this work is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also granted this most honorific title, best of humankind, khairul ummah. Khairul ummah, to the Muslim ummah, on the fulfillment of their da'wah duty of calling mankind to righteousness and prohibiting sin among them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Which means, you are the best of nation. خير الأمة. Ever raised up for mankind. للناس. In other words, you are for the benefit of mankind. How is that? تأمرون بالمعروف. You enjoin, you command people to righteous deeds. And وَتَنْهَوْنَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and you forbid evil, you forbid corruption, and you believe in Allah. So thus, the Muslim nation has been given that special status of the best nation because of and conditional upon their belief in Allah, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and their promotion of morality and their opposition to vice. And to invite, for inviting people to the truth of Islam. So those, in brief, are some of the fadail, the rewards, benefits of giving da'wah. And of course, logically, if you look at that, that if through this effort, more and more people accept Islam, that is the spread of goodness, that's the spread of light, that's the removal of conflict, that's the removal of vice from this earth, and therefore it improves life on this dunya for everyone, including the one who is giving da'wah. Benefit linnas, for all mankind. Now we come to the third point we want to cover, which is the fiqhi status. What do our ulama say about the fiqhi status of the obligation of da'wah? Da'wah, we all know how important it is and how valuable and beneficial and rewarding it is. But what is its status in terms of, is it an individual obligation? Is it a collective obligation? Is it a sunnah? Is it from the nawafil that you do extra? So the majority of our scholars, rahimahullah, are of the opinion that da'wah is a fard kifaya, a collective obligation, in part because every individual is not capable of accomplishing it properly, with wisdom, with sound knowledge and effectiveness. So if everyone is not capable of doing it, it cannot be made a fard ayn, an individual obligation, if somebody doesn't have that capacity. Moreover, da'wah is subsumed under that general category that this ayah says, Al-Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyan al Munkar, which is enjoining good and forbidding evil. And not everyone is capable of doing that, and it's not everyone is eligible for it, because it requires sound knowledge, it requires expertise, it requires wisdom, it requires to be able to analyze whether what I am going to say and do is going to cause more benefit or harm. So, therefore, scholars have said that it's not mandatory for everyone. It's a collective community obligation. And this is based on the ayah in Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let there arise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, to khair, al-khair, which is Islam, enjoining al-ma'ruf, enjoining good, and forbidding evil, munkar. All forms of shirk, kufr, everything that Islam has forbidden comes under that munkar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who do that, that is they who are muflihun, the truly successful. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the point that a group of believers should shoulder the responsibility of promoting virtue and prohibiting vice in a society. So in Islam, religion is not merely a personal affair as perceived in the secular West, that it's a personal thing between you and your deity, who you worship. In Islam, it is the very fabric of society. And part of the policing of that society is shared by members of the community who are part of that society. Therefore, this obligation is particularly applicable on whoever has the ability, the knowledge, whether it's a scholar, whether it's the ruler, or whether it's an ordinary Muslim who Allah has blessed with the ability and the knowledge. However, there is another view, that is, the dawah, it can be fard ain, an individual obligation under certain situations and circumstances. So first of all, the personal practice of Islam. If I am a Muslim, I am obligated. It is fard ain for me to be a good Muslim, to practice Islam in all of its facets and manifestations in my life. And if I am a good practicing Muslim, I am giving da'wah by my example. However, depending upon the level of knowledge, the qualification, the ability and experience, some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds to a higher standard and gives them greater responsibility, such as the Muslim scholars, such as the righteous rulers, like the Khulafa'i Rashidun that we have been studying about, that this work has to be done until the message of Islam reaches everyone in their various languages that they speak. And this is the type of propagation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, Ya ayyuha Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbika. O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, proclaim, convey the message, the entire message, whatever has been sent down to you from your Lord. Therefore, just like it was an obligation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it may be obligatory on some people from this ummah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself broadened the scope of this responsibility by giving some individual responsibility to everyone who had any knowledge when he said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey from me. Convey from me. وَلَوْ آيَةً. Even if it is an ayah. And that if one ayah is knowledge, but somebody who only knows one ayah wouldn't be considered a scholar. And therefore some have said that Allah is saying convey, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying convey even if you know some of them. What you know properly of the deen, convey it to others. So we know, my dear brothers and sisters, that no more prophets are to come to invite to the worship of one God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call people back to the straight path of Islam when they go astray. So, since no more prophets are going to come, this job, this responsibility has been assigned to this ummah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. So, our job. Now, some scholars have further explained and opine that it is a fard ayn, an individual obligatory duty on you if you have the knowledge when no one else in your area or country takes up that responsibility of enjoining good and forbidding evil. And if we have time and we talk about the stories of some of my experiences in dawah, I will highlight this point. However, If qualified people are fulfilling this responsibility of dawah, then it is a sunnah, which is important, but it's not an obligation for others who may also have the knowledge. Now, if we look at the reality of today, we live in an age and at a time when there is a shortage of callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when evil is prevalent, where ignorance in general and particularly about Islam dominates. Therefore, clarification, rectification, da'wah is considered a greater responsibility on everyone according to their individual ability. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموئذة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. In Surah Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, invite all to mankind, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the way, إلى سبيل ربك, to the way of your Lord. That's all is mentioned. With ala, bil hikmah, with wisdom. And maw'idhatil hasana, and with fair preaching, the best way, and kind advice. And if you argue with them, if you debate with them, it's not a debate. Do it in the best way. And truly, your Lord knows best who has gone astray from his path, and he is best aware of those who are guided. So even though the Prophet ﷺ is personally addressed in this verse, by extension, all individual believers are also instructed to invite people to Islam, because Rasulullah ﷺ, as you remember, at least in the Hajjatul and the khutbah of Hajjatul Wada', in the farewell Hajj, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the meaning of which is, let those who are present, which is a mass of 120,000 or so at the time, those who are present, convey what they heard to those who are absent. For perhaps he may inform one better able to understand it than himself. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sort of gave this responsibility, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also stressed the gravity for people who have gravity of sin for the people who have knowledge and who conceal it, who don't share it, when he said, whoever hides knowledge by which Allah benefits people in their affairs of religion, Allah will bridle him on the day of resurrection with the bridle from the hellfire. So this is a warning. As you know, some of the previous nations, the people who followed them, would hide the divine word for their personal advantages, for the benefit of their nufus. We are here, linnas, for the benefit of mankind. Any knowledge from Allah which benefits people in their affairs, in the dunya, and particularly in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has to be conveyed. So that is some of the fiqh opinions on the status of da'wah. Now we come to what are we inviting to, and the call of the da'wah and its objective. So there are three elements in the da'wah, which is the foundations of da'wah. The call, what we are calling to, the caller, the person who is inviting, and the called, the person who is being addressed, who is being invited. So we have this. And each of them have their own particular characteristics, prerequisites, and goals, which we need to understand so that the da'wah can be effectively fulfilled, and that we meet the responsibility of da'wah with requirements of the pillars of each of these to the best of our ability. So now we're going to talk about the call. What are we calling to? What is the objective? The aim and objective of Dawah is to clearly deliver the message of Islam, which is the message of Tawheed, worship of one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone, and to spread the teachings of Islam in their pristine purity in order to enlighten the disbelievers or the ignorant who do not know about Islam, and also to correct any mistaken beliefs among Muslims themselves. The Prophet ﷺ said, as you know, in the hadith of the Ghuraba, that Islam began as something strange and it will return to be something strange. وَتُوبُوا غُرَبَا, and give glad tidings to the strangers. That there will be few people, غُرَبَا, strangers. Then in one narration, some of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, who are these ghuraba, these strangers? And he replied, those who rectify themselves and others when people become corrupt. So that's again, essentially the summary of a da'i. Rectifies himself and does his best or her best to rectify others. So the goal of da'wah, what we are calling to, is expressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse that we have narrated before, which we have recited before, where it says, Ad'u ila sabili rabbik. It is summarized in this. Ad'u, invite, call, ila sabili rabbik, to the path, the way of your Lord, in Surah An-Nahl. And Shaykh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadawi, rahmatullah alayh, the great scholar from my grandfather's hometown and his companion, said about this verse that this verse does not specifically ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to invite people to faith, to correct beliefs, to prayer, to good manners, or to the respect of human rights. Because he said, all of these are covered in these words to this, ila sabili rabbik, to the way of your Lord. That these words are so profound and all-inclusive and so comprehensive that it encompasses all of Islam. So, in a way, we are inviting to all of Islam, the way of Allah, the mighty and majestic, which is the straight path, which is the only religion accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is submission to the Quran and its injunctions, which is to walk in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following his sunnah as understood by the earliest of the salaf. Therefore, we must call to submission to Allah. Da'a ilallah, call to Allah. We do not call to a particular madhab. And we do not call people to ourselves, you know, me. Because sometimes the nafs gets involved. When you are inviting people, many of us fall into the traps of the nafs, of my importance, sort of telling the nafs that you are better, you are at a higher level than this person. This person doesn't know this, this person doesn't practice this. I am better and I'm inviting them to come to my standards. So some of the invitations sometimes can be a nafsani invitation that we have to be cautious about. What my priorities are, what my goals are, what my ideologies are, what my personal drives are. So sometimes in the garb of inviting to Allah and sometimes even being unaware, we are inviting people to ourselves because of the veils over our hearts which conceal the true vision of a da'i. And this way of Allah, sabili rabbik, is only one way, the religion of Islam. Loving, willing, knowing, submission and surrender. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave behind him multitude of different ways to follow Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Do not be among the mushrikeen. And then he says, مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be among the polytheists, the idol worshippers. And then he gives the example of those who split up their religion and became sects, and each sect rejoicing in what it has. Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his companions, he drew for us, he said, a line in the dirt, in the sand. And he drew a straight line and he said, this is the path of Allah. Then he drew sort of cross-hatched lines, other lines branching off, branching to the right and left from that one line. And he said, these are the paths at the end of which is a devil calling people to it. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayah, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ أَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Which means, and verily, هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا, this is my straight path. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ, and do not follow other paths, for they will separate you from his path. And this is what he has ordained for you, that you may become al-muttaqoon. So this hadith proves that the way is only one. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayh said about this hadith, he said, this is because the path leading to Allah is only one. And it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messengers on and sent his books with. No one reaches him, Azza wa Jal, except through this path. Even if people take every path and try to open every door, these paths will be blocked and the doors will be locked, with the exception of this one path. For it is connected to Allah and leads to Him. Unquote. This is a translation of what Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said about this hadith. So Tawheed, the bottom line is Tawheed. Giving da'wah, when we're giving da'wah, the priority must be to first address the most critical and important element of Islam, which is Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first pillar of Islam, the declaration of Shahada. That none, la ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. He is the only one worthy of worship. And also knowing that the only unforgivable sin is shirk, to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take partners with Him. So the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should focus on Tawheed, and which is exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed his companions whenever he sent them. And the best prototype that we have from the seerah that is most frequently quoted is the instructions that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu when he sent him as a governor to Yemen. And in those instructions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, making him realize, he said, you will be going to the people of the book, the Christians and the Jews. So, in other words, you should know who your audience is. So, the first thing you should do is invite them to testify to La ilaha illallah and that I am the messenger of Allah. Call them to the Shahad. First thing. Then he said, if they accept that, then inform them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the five obligatory salahs an obligation. And then he said, and if they pray them, in other words, there's gradualism. First the Shahada, then the Salah. And if they accept and pray them, Then inform them that Allah has made the payment of charity of zakat from the wealth of their rich an obligation to be given to their poor. So zakat, gradualism. And then he said, and if they accept that, take from their property and give to their poor. And then he clarified that, avoid taking the best parts of their property. In other words, use wisdom, because they are new. So the call to Tawheed, and this books have been written about this hadith, the call to Tawheed should address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rububiyah, his unique unicity with respect to his lordship, to the creation, his sovereignty over his creation, his asma wa sifat, the names and attributes, and his right to be worshipped alone without any partners, which is the ubudiyah, tawheed al-ubudiyah. So this belief in tawheed should be manifest in human relationships with Allah's creation, and that follows. So once a person comes to understanding and to the application and to the actualization of tawheed and living tawheed, it will rectify their social interactions among themselves. It will rectify their relationship with the rest of creation, with the world, with the environment, with the plants, with the animals, with whom they live and who have been made subservient to them. So as we are taught over and over again, starting from a tazkiyah module, the tawheed is the active affirmation of Allah's unicity as the sole owner, the creator, the master of the universe, by worshipping him alone with no partners. It requires action. It's a verbal noun. It requires action, confirmation of our belief by our actions, manifesting in our character, the husnul khuluq, beautiful character, in our dealings, in our muamalat, in our interactions with people. Because tawheed is that which transitions people from darkness to light. It is the passageway from falsehood to truth, and from vice to virtue. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the guardian of the believers. Once that belief, that actual tawheed, the active affirmation, becomes my life, then Allah becomes the guardian. And Allah leads a person to more khair, protects them from evil, gives them more opportunity for hasanat, gives them greater tawfiq for their amal. And he takes them out from dhulumat, from darknesses, to light. An-nur. An-nur is singular. The light. One light. The one path. So regardless of whatever subject our interaction with the person begins, a conscious effort should be made to divert the conversation ultimately to that of tawheed. One way would be by giving examples of divine favors and blessings, which everybody acknowledges. It's not a matter of dispute. Because it's only by the acceptance of tawheed that success is guaranteed in this life and the next. So if we convince people about everything of Islam, including things like the virtues of hijab and unfairness of labeling Muslims as terrorists and all of that, but if that person does not accept that tawheed of Allah and his right to be worshipped alone and dies in that state, then all that he knew about Islam and agreed is squandered. It's an opportunity for eternal success that has been squandered and missed. So there should be no doubt that Tawheed is clearly conveyed to the person we're talking to. And like I said, sometimes from other topics, we bring the topic to Tawheed. And a classical example in the Quran of diversion to Tawheed is the da'wah of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam when he was in prison. As you are familiar with the story, that the two prisoners asked him to interpret their dreams. One of them had seen himself pressing wine, and the other had seen himself carrying bread on his head, and the birds were eating from it. And they said, inform us of the interpretation of these things, because indeed we believe, we see in you, in your akhlaq, in your comportment, that you are of the righteous. Now, what is the response of Yusuf alayhi salam? He doesn't interpret their dreams. This is what they ask. What does he reply? He said, I will inform you about your dreams and the food that arrives as your provision before it arrives. And then he diverts. That knowledge of dreams and everything else is from my Lord who has taught me. Brings it to Tawheed. And then he goes on to expound on that. I have abandoned the religions of a people who do not believe in Allah and the hereafter. And he puts in the hereafter there. And I have followed the religion of my fathers Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub. And we would never attribute any partners whatsoever to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is again from the grace of Allah to us and to humankind, but most people are not thankful. This is the ayahs. And then he gives further. He says, oh, my two companions of the prison, he makes a logical argument. Are many different lords better than Allah, the one, the irresistible? You are only worshipping besides him names which you and your fathers made up, for which no authority has been revealed by Allah. And judgment belongs to Allah alone. He has commanded that you worship none beside him. That is the upright religion. But most people do not know. So if you analyze this, these ayats of the Quran from Surah Yusuf, you learn how Yusuf alayhi salam gives a complete da'wah of Tawheed, including Akhirah, including some mention of the Rusul that were before him from his family. And in his own way, he shows the illogical choosing of deities other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his address to these people. So again, it is important to always bring the conversation to Tawheed. Now, it's also important for us to remember that da'wah is conveyance of the message of Islam. It's an invitation. It is not a coercion to convert people to Islam. We do not proselytize. Acceptance or rejection is not in our control. As long as that rejection of the message is not the result of our ignorance, of our error, or our methodology. The message of Tawheed should be conveyed as directly as possible, and it should not be compromised or watered down to be politically correct. And in that way, its essence is lost, or its significance is reduced. Now, in today's world, we have many encounters of what we call, under the label of interfaith dialogue, some of which are attempts to blur the essential issues and put all religion on an equal footing. And they say, all religions believe in the same thing, call to goodness, righteousness, and they should be tolerant and accepting of each other, which is the general idea of perennialism, which we studied in the Aqidah class. And so these interfaith dialogue gatherings are most times not gatherings to search for the truth. And the truth is there is only one true religion, which is Islam, and all others are false. Now, other religions, in an attempt to slow or halt the wave of conversions of the spread of Islam, have introduced some of these interfaith dialogue concepts after centuries of vilifying and demonizing the final messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In some of the seminaries, including the library at Hartford Seminary near here, which is now producing Muslim chaplains, I have seen with my own eyes books of that were given to the missionaries going to Southeast Asia of how to reduce the value of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how to disconnect the ummah from him. So be careful in the interfaith dialogue format. We Muslims, we invite to as-salam, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are inviting to salam, to peace, to submission, that state of peace that comes from loving surrender, submission to the will and commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are inviting to divine values. We are inviting to the akhirah. In my da'wah, I am essentially stating that I am a Muslim, an ordinary Muslim, one who has lovingly submitted to Allah, first in my heart and in my actions that you see. And I invite you to join me, as the Sahaba used to say, kunu mithlana, be like us. So, I will end this first session with a story of one of the Sahaba, which is an example of delivering the message of Islam with confidence, with clarity, without compromise, without an apology. And this is the story that you all know of Sayyidina Rabia ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, when he was sent as a Muslim emissary by Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu to Rustam, the army general of the Persian Empire, as a prelude to that famous Battle of Qadisiyah, which occurred in the 15th year of Hijri. So Rabi'a radiallahu anhu ibn Amr, he was a poor man, very modest clothes. His horse was a very described as a short-legged horse. His sword didn't have a scabbard. It was wrapped in a piece. It didn't have a sheath. It was wrapped in a piece of cloth. And he had a spear on which were tied things that he carried. And the Persians, in their as the superpower, had prepared the venue for this high-level meeting between Rustam and the emissary of the Muslim army, and they had laid out, spread Persian, beautiful Persian rugs. There was a throne of gold, it says, that was set up for Rustam, the general, and he wore this gold brocaded dress to impress the Muslims. Royal guards on both sides of the carpet as their protocol. And so they expected Rabi'a ibn Amr radiallahu anhu to come on an elegant horse, dressed in expensive clothes, wielding the best of armor, accompanied by guards and advisors, and then he would disembark from this horse and walk on the carpet and sit in front of Rustam. Now Sayyidina Rabi'a ibn Amr comes in alone, no escort, wearing these humble ragged clothes, on this short-legged horse, and he doesn't get off the horse, he walks the horse, and whatever the horse was dropping, onto these rugs. And as he is going there, he sticks his spear, making holes in the rugs. And then when he gets to Rustam, he sticks that spear into the ground through the rugs, and he ties his horse to it. And he walks in with his sword wrapped in that cloth, even though the guards didn't want him, but he came, confident. And Rustam is surprised, he's sitting there. So he's showing complete disdain to all the pomp and show and luxury. And he comes in confidently, alone. And Rustam says, مَا جَابِكُمْ Why did you come to our land? That's the question. Why did you come to our land? Rabia radiallahu anhu responded with a beautiful response. He says, Allahu ta'athna. Allah has sent us. I didn't come. Allah has sent us. لِنُخْرِجَ مَنْ شَاءَ مِنْ إِبَادَةِ الْإِبَادِ إِلَىٰ إِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ دَيْقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَتِهَا وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. A beautiful, clear message. He said, Allah Azza wa Jal has sent us to deliver you from worshipping the creation to worshipping Allah, the Creator. He has sent us to deliver you from the constriction, dayqid dunya, of this world to the vastness of this world and the afterlife, and from the oppression of other religions to the justice of Islam. A clear message, eloquently delivered, a confident messenger, Rabia ibn Amr, trained by the best, Al-Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So, a clear deliverance of the message of Tawheed, the message of Akhira, with confidence that I am on the truth, I have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am fulfilling my duty. So inshallah, we will take a 5 to 6 minute break for you to freshen up, and please be back promptly, and we will continue. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.